I want to call it this morning a prayer of alignment. And if you want to read with me from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, it's just a few little verses. And I'm only going to focus on part of that for this morning anyway. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I wonder how many of you a few days ago made some New Year's resolutions. I won't ask you to put up your hand and to tell us what your resolutions were. But probably many of us, or most of us here, had some kind of an idea, if not an actual list, certainly some ideas that came into our hearts or into our minds, thinking about how we're going to tackle this year. A new year, a new start, a new vision, and many of those kinds of things. Top of the list, according to one particular website, is health. And normally it is living a healthier lifestyle, including weight. I want to lose weight, and I'll start on Monday. Nobody actually tells you which Monday, but somehow Monday you will be starting by losing some weight. And then another one, about two or three third on the list, is dealing with debt. And that is trying to get out of debt. After the last 2 years of disasters worldwide economically, it's not a bad New Year's resolution to have, and that is to get rid of all debt. And so the list goes on. Now, the interesting thing is that out of 100% of people who make New Year's resolutions, only 52 believe that they can actually achieve their goals, according to one particular research. And even more scary, and that is that only 12% ultimately actually achieve their goals and their New Year's resolutions. We've all been there. We've all done that. And where does it leave us in terms of 2010? Here we are at the start of a new year. Where do we go? There are many, many things that I could have talked about every time I prayed and thought about this particular message. My thoughts came back to the Lord's Prayer. It has been a prayer that guided me for many years, and many times over I pray this prayer. And I pray that the Lord would help me to understand the depth of this prayer. I suggest that rather than a list of do's and don'ts, which I can try and produce here today, or even hand out little pieces of paper and say, what are your New Year's resolutions from a Christian perspective today? What is it that you want to achieve or do here today? And then to list them. Rather than do that, I want us to consider the Lord's Prayer as a simple prayer for 2010, but not a insignificant prayer. I believe it's a very significant way of entering into any new phase of your life. I believe it's a prayer of alignment with God. And I want to look at this particular prayer from that perspective today, and only really the first few petitions of this prayer. I believe, and this is my desire, and I believe I can share with you and with all of us today, that our desire should be to live a life in alignment with God. Now, that raises some alignment issues, so let's just get that straight. Let's get the facts straight. What is alignment all about? Here is a quote, one definition from the website Wikipedia. It says, "Alignment is the adjustment of an object in relation to other objects, or a static orientation of some object or set of objects in relation to others." Now, that's really a mouthful, but at the end of the day, it really just means that you need to align yourself up with one object or more objects or whatever the case might be. I have had a particular experience a couple of years ago. Joan and I bought a brand new little car. And we were very proud. It was the first time in my life that I was able to buy a brand new little car, a Hyundai Atos. And we just really love this little thing. I drive it around all over. You may wonder about my length and how I fit into that thing. But I do. I actually do fit into the thing. It has quite a high roof. But it wasn't long, about 7,000 kilometers into driving this little car, that I had a flat tire on the front. And when I took the wheel off to replace it with the spare wheel, I immediately noticed that there was something wrong. Because of the thread on the tires. And if you know anything about wheel alignment or the toe of the car, of the front suspension, then you know that something was wrong. I cut a long story short, and after a long battle with the company and so on, and I won't go into the details, I ended up putting on new tires at 12,000 kilometers. Now, for those of you who don't know anything about it, a set of tires should give you at least 40 to 50,000 Ks. So having to replace them out of my own pocket at 12,000 Rand was enough for me. But it really meant that the alignment was out. So I had to set the alignment. The new set of tires seem to be going fairly strong at this stage. The alignment is done, and I constantly keep my eye on the tire thread and see how it runs. All about alignment. If the alignment is out, then something goes wrong. In my particular case, my pocket felt the wrong that happened. Like rowing a boat, a regatta. Rowing a boat, even a canoe, and especially if you're two people in any kind of boat like you see on the photograph, alignment is what needs to be done. You cannot row a boat if only one side is rowing. And in that particular type of competition, every single person in that boat needs to pull their weight and make sure that they row according to the rhythm and the beat. It is like a business partnership. If you enter into a business and you have a partner in your business, if you don't share the same goals, the same vision, if you don't share the same ethos and work ethics, things are going to go wrong. And we have plenty. The other day I talked to one of our members, and things have gone wrong because of a particular business partner who didn't toe the line. And things went horribly wrong in that particular business as a result of that. Those of you who are married, and most of us probably are somehow or the other, have had marriage experience or relationship experience. Again, the same thing happens. If you don't share your lives, if you don't get alignment in your habits, and you don't learn to live with one another, if you don't follow a particular rhythm in your marriage, the marriage is doomed. And we have plenty of examples where the rhythm in a marriage didn't work out. The alignment went wrong, and the marriage went onto the rocks. And so I can go on and on with plenty of examples. But coming back to the Lord's Prayer, I believe the Lord's Prayer is a prayer of alignment, aligning myself with God. Now, the Lord's Prayer is rich in meaning, and it has been used for 2,000 years since the Lord taught His disciples how to pray this prayer. Sometimes it has ended up in a pure recitation, simply just repeating the words with no meaning given to the words or no thought given to the meaning of the words and so on. And I don't think the Lord ever intended for us to simply memorize it and to repeat it like parrots every single morning or every single day. I believe we need to look at the principles and the guidelines that we find in this prayer. And some time ago, I preached a message on this prayer, and I highlighted some of the principles we find in this particular prayer. It's not just a meaningless recitation. I specifically believe that the first three petitions in this prayer can help us with the alignment issue in our lives as we enter into 2010. I believe they're meaningful to give us a perspective on our relationship with God, especially as we seek to serve Him in this new year, which is why I call it a prayer of alignment. There's so much that I can say and that I can preach about in relation to a new year and a new beginning and everything else. I can talk about some of the prophecies in the Old Testament and the Lord's coming and all those kind of things, which are all valid. But I believe that for us to enter into this new year, I believe the one major issue in our lives as Christians should be that we want to be aligned with God in everything that He is and that He does. And so I believe that this prayer gives us a God perspective. Jesus starts this prayer by saying, "Our Father in heaven." And I believe in that simple little statement, we find a God perspective for our lives. God is a Father, And that means that God wants to enter into a relationship with us. God is not a God who created this world and then left it all to itself and He's sitting out there and watching what is happening. No, throughout the Old Testament and more particularly in the New, God entered into our world. And through Jesus Christ and dying on the cross, something we just celebrated in the communion service, God entered into our world and wants to enter into this relationship with us. And it's significant that Jesus, the Son of God, is actually inviting us to say with Him, our Father. He invites us into that relationship. And a father-son, a father-child relationship is an intimate one. It's a family relationship. And I believe that it gives us a perspective of God who is a father and a father who wants to take my hand and who wants to walk with me into 2010 so that I can be with Him and follow Him wherever He goes. But He is also a Father in heaven. And so as much as he wants to enter into an intimate relationship with me, I need to understand that God is a transcendent God. God is a holy God. God is a mighty God. God is a God who is other, different from us. And therefore, I need to have a certain amount of respect for God, for who He is. And I believe this prayer gives us a perspective on who I am and who God is. God is a Father in heaven. I am therefore a person, a child of God on earth. And it gives me a huge amount of perspective when I start thinking about God and when I start entering into this relationship with God. Christians live their lives in the knowledge that God is part of this world, but also more specifically part of our world. He is part of my planning. He is part of my reality. And as I live my life every single day, God is part of my life. And so I can have all these New Year's resolutions and all these wonderful things that I want to do. But I think basic to all of that is an understanding of who God is. I cannot plan for and live in 2010 without acknowledging that my life, I live in the presence of God. Do you want to do that? Do you want to enter into this year with that particular desire to live with God in your life every single day? There are many ways in which it will come out. We went through the prayer reading guide and the books that you can read and everything else. But ultimately, it's about living my life in the presence of God every single day and every moment of every day. Jesus then introduces three petitions, the first of which is, hallowed be thy name, or your name. We need to understand that God is a holy God, and that He is best glorified when we acknowledge God as a holy God. Since sin entered into this world, something I read in Romans chapter 5 just a bit earlier on, sin entered into the world when Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis chapter 3, you can go and read that for yourself. The world and its human inhabitants have been affected by unholy living, unholy desires, unholy actions. I don't know whether the Sunday papers are published today, but you can buy the paper today. It will be cover to cover unholiness. Whether it's murder, robbery, separation or war, it is unholy living. It is covered with unholy living. In fact, you have to really scratch hard to find good news. Not even the cricket is good news nowadays. So you would really have to scratch the paper to find some good news in there. The news is bad. The bad news is that human people are sinful. And they have sinned against God. And therefore we do not reflect the holiness of God and the glory of God and the image of God the way He created us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The word hallowed means, in the Greek, it means let your name be made holy or let it be made holy. In this particular case, hallowed be your name means let your name, your character, your person be made holy. Let people, let the world, let us acknowledge that you're a holy God. You cannot tolerate sin. God is so fed up with sin that He sent His Son Jesus into this world to die for it. That's how ugly sin is. And you only have to watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and you will know how Jesus went through devastation to deal with sin in this life, in this world, and sin in your life and in mine. So hallowed be your name is a prayer. Oh Lord, let your name be made holy. Let people, let the world understand that you're a holy God and that you cannot tolerate sin. You cannot tolerate the evil that is in the world today. That's why Jesus died, to take care of it. But it starts with me. It starts with my desire and my striving to live a life to the glory of God, reflecting His holiness. No use buying the Sunday paper and just condemning everybody and reading back to front. Yeah, just look at how bad it is. And in the meantime, I live a bad life. It doesn't help that way. I have to start living a holy life. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to enter into my life and convict me of sin. And I need to be able to go to God and say, Lord, I repent. I ask you for your forgiveness. And the cross is there. Jesus' death is there to take care of all the sins and every sin that I have committed. And when I confess and bow before Jesus, my sins are taken away. My life is declared holy. And now I strive to live holy. Even as a Christian, I still struggle with sin. And every time I need to allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life, to convict me and to deal with the sin in my life. So praying, hallowed be your name, is a prayer for me. It's a prayer that my life will be holy, that my life will reflect the glory and the holiness of God. But Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come. God is a king. He is the king of the universe. He rules over everything. Not everyone acknowledges God's kingship and His rule over us and His authority, however. As again, you can see in the news, and you only open your eyes in your own family circle, your circle of family members and friends and at work and everywhere, you will see that people do not always acknowledge God. The way that they steal and they corrupt and do bad deals, etc., etc., is all a reflection of the fact that people do not acknowledge God's authority over their lives. Because if they did, they would do business and they would live their lives in a way that reflect the authority and the rulership of God over their lives. And so our prayer is that people will acknowledge His kingship over them by bowing to the authority of Jesus Christ, by coming and acknowledging that God gave His Son Jesus on the cross, and by bowing before Jesus and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, I acknowledge that God is King, and now I worship Him as my King, and I acknowledge Him as my King. So our prayer is that the world would understand that, that they would acknowledge the rulership of God in this world. But again, and no use praying this prayer for the rest of the world, unless it starts with me. It's for me committing myself to live a life reflecting kingdom principles. Kingdom principles are found in this Bible, in this book. By reading this Bible, by studying God, who He is and how what He desires and how He operates in this world, I understand more and more about who God is and how He wants this world to actually operate. In fact, God has a perfect plan. And ultimately, God will bring a new heaven and a new earth into being where there will be no sin and everybody will be under the authority of God. In fact, right now in heaven, the angels are bowing to the authority of God. You read the scriptures, you find the angels bowing before the throne, ready to jump just as God speaks. They're there to do whatever He wants them to do because they acknowledge that He is King. And so it starts with me. It means that every area of my life will be submitted to the authority, under the authority of God. Every time I pray, I'll say, God, you are King. What do you want me to do, King? I'm your servant. How do you want me to live my marriage? How do you want me to raise my children, for our families who dedicated their children this morning? Lord, how do you want me to do my work? Because you are King. Speak the word and I will do. Lord, what is it that you want as a king? I am your servant. I want to serve you wherever I am and wherever I go, Lord. You are King. The third petition that Jesus taught us is, your will be done. God's will is perfectly done and adhered to in heaven, as I said earlier on, where He reigns and fully reigns. There is no one and nothing in heaven that doesn't do the will of God. When you go to heaven, God's will is done. The angels bow at His authority. The angels do the will of God. They simply say, Lord, we are here. God, we are here. We want to do your will. Just send us. I'm ready. We have pictures in the Bible with seraphs and angels with wings, and some of the symbolism there is their willingness and their readiness to simply go, to fly when God says go, because they want to do the will of God. Again, God's will on earth is not fully done, unfortunately, as we see from the papers and the news and our own experience. We see it in people, the way they live their lives recklessly, with no acknowledgement of God. They couldn't care less about the will of God. When you murder another person and when you rob another person, you have no clue who God is and anything about the will of God. And so we see it all over us, all over the world around us. Our prayer is that the world will submit to the will of God and that they would begin to do the will of God. But again, there's no use praying for people out there unless it starts with me. As I submit to the Lord's will for my own life, my own decisions, my natural reaction as a Christian is to ask, is it God's will for me? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he struggled with the concept of going to the cross, being handed over by his own friends and disciples to the authorities, going through the Jewish authorities and the Sanhedrin, being rejected and condemned by them, being taken to Pilate, and then being hit and beaten and eventually losing his life. When he saw those pictures in his mind, he said, Lord, if it is at all possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. And so often in our own lives, we're not sure what the Lord is planning for us. Jesus had the privilege of being able to see into the future. We can't. But I can still pray, Lord, whatever 2010 holds, your will be done. And I want to pray this prayer every single day. Lord, I want to pray this prayer every single morning. This day, your will be done. Help me in my decisions. Help me in the way I drive my car. Help me in the way I relate to my co-workers and my marriage partner and my children. Lord, help me to do your will. Let your will be done. So how are we doing? The Lord's Prayer is a dynamic and very meaningful way of aligning myself to God and His will, His authority, and His holiness. It's like the tires on my car. If I don't get them aligned, something will wear out and is going to be on my side, not on God's side. God's kingdom will suffer. His kingdom in me will suffer. His holiness will suffer. His will in my life will suffer unless I align myself with God. And I believe this is a perfect prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. This prayer focuses on the world of today. It also has a future element in that I'm praying for the kingdom and the will of God and the holiness of God to come somewhere in the future. And it will perfectly come at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I don't know when that is going to occur. In the meantime, I need to pray. I need to pray for the world. Oh God, please work. Work through our church. Work in Sandton, Lord. Work in our workplaces for your will to be done, your name to be made holy, your kingdom to come. But oh Lord, start with me. Start with me, Lord, as I call on you, my Father, to lead me. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. Is your life in alignment with God? Is your life in alignment with God? If it's not, something is going to wear out this year. So today is the day to get your life in alignment with God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please will you stand with us as we sing the Lord.